All right, this lesson is going to be on the invitation in Children's Church. We're going to touch on being evangelistic with children and a little bit on how to properly witness to them and different areas regarding just evangelizing young children. The altar call is the primary focus of the entire Children's Church service. Everything really builds up to this. The song service and the fun time prepare kids, draw them in, get their attention, get them to buy into you and into your program. The preaching time delivers that message straight to them. The invitation time is where we reap the harvest that we've sown and everything else. Everything revolves around this. If you want to have a good invitation and really make an impact in kids' lives and see souls saved and see kids surrender to serve Christ, you really have to have a full-blown, total package program. Well, I'm going to talk about having just wrapping it up and having that huge total package in the last lesson of this series, but this is what it's all about. The invitation time is what it's all about. You're reaping your harvest during this time. Now, let me say, I'm not a big fan of high-pressure invitations for small children. I have, you know, in camp in different places, been into some fairly high-pressure invitations and altar calls and such, where they would do things such as have people parade across the platform that have never drank alcohol, and then those who couldn't walk across stage, well, if you'll never drink alcohol again, come across stage. I've been in teen camp services that did things like that. I've been in some pretty high pressure invitations and seen some things done that are very high pressure for young children. I'm just not a big fan of that. Little children are very impressionable. They're very innocent. They're very gullible. They'll believe anything you say. My goodness, they believe in the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, and they think that the animals on TV, Winnie the Pooh and whatever, the cartoons they want to watch on TV, they think those things are real. Kids have just very impressionable minds. Their hearts are very tender, and you can make them do anything you want them to do. And that is the absolute truth. I can make kids pray. I can't make them get saved, but I can make kids pray. I can't, you know, force somebody to accept Christ as their Savior, but I can make kids come down and make kids go in and have people talk to them. I can do that. That is not hard to do. And you can single out kids. I've been in ministries before where they've singled out and talked to visitors and first-time people one-on-one in more some bus ministry type settings, but to actually single them out, take them out separate, and deal with them one-on-one about salvation. I'm not a big fan of doing that. If that's the way you want to run it, that's fine. You have every right to. I'm just saying that I like to leave it up to the Lord, honestly, to an extent. I'm going to do all the work, and I'm going to give them a chance to come down, but I'm not going to force a kid to get saved. When I was young, I say I was saved when I was about 4 years old. I'm not sure if I've given my testimony or not, but I was saved when I was 4 years old. I was too scared to go back to Children's Church. I was sitting in the main service on Sunday morning, and the preacher preached on hell, and it scared me to death. I knew I was a sinner, and I knew I was not going to go to heaven. Well, I didn't know what to do. I just knew I was scared. And my mom, after the service, realized that that something was wrong with me, and I told her, I said, I'm scared I'm going to go to hell. And so what they did was that night they got our assistant pastor, who's now our pastor, Brother Lewis Horton, to talk to me. And we went back in the pastor's office after church that night, and we sat on the couch. It was right inside the door to the right. And he took his Bible and showed me how to be saved. And I prayed and accepted Christ as my Savior, put my faith and trust in Him, whatever cliche you want to throw in there. I did it. And I remembered as a four-year-old boy thinking that the weight of the world had lifted off my shoulders. And that, I mean, just everything seemed brighter and happier. It was like an entirely new world. Now, I don't put a lot of stock necessarily in feelings, but I'm going to tell you something. I knew something has changed. Even as a little four-year-old boy, I knew something had changed. Now, let me tell you something. I've seen some people deal with little four-year-old kids, and that little four-year-old kid is just going through the motions. Now, I can't necessarily judge what's happening in the heart, but I can judge by the actions what is happening in somebody's heart. And I've listen, you've probably seen it too. There's some people that do some very underhanded, dishonest tricks when it comes to sewing, just to put it very mildly. I don't have a lot of patience for people who use trickery and such to make people pray when they're dealing with them. It's not our job to make somebody pray, and you can pray till you're blue in the face. That don't save you if you don't have faith. You need to read your Bible. If you have any concerns about that, a lot of folks pray, but they ain't saved. But anyway, let's not get into that. That's not the time or place for this. Maybe we'll do a lesson just on salvation and the particulars there. But nevertheless, kids are very impressionable. They will get saved if you give them a chance. I just think you need to have an open invitation and allow them to come down. Plead with them to come down. That's fine. I'm not a big fan necessarily of just going singling them out or screaming and yelling and just berating them until they come down. You need to have some civility and have some decency in how you deal with kids. And besides that, if you get really over the top with this, you will lose kids. Kids don't want to sit under that. And their parents don't want to send them under that. So, and as I say too, also, when it comes to your children's church time, if all you're doing is being evangelistic and all you're doing is hoping for people to get saved, you're neglecting a bunch of kids there that are church kids who are maybe faithful bus kids that they settled that a long time ago. You also need to give them something. Don't neglect those church kids. I'm going to tell you, I think that we're in trouble in a lot of our independent fundamental Baptist churches because we keep trying to win the bus kids and we forget about our church kids. And we think, well, it's gospel, it's in the Bible, it'll do them good. We need to give them something. We need to be feeding them too. That's a little pet peeve of mine. Let me tell you something. I'm looking at the notes here. Let me see where I want to go with this. There's so many things. I'm pretty opinionated on this. It's something, honestly, of all the things I've covered here, this is the one I probably have the least amount of experience. I'm just going to give you some observations I have and how I've seen things run and how I've tried to do some things and just some tips and stuff that I've personally seen, experienced, or used. One thing is, I think it's very good to have some music during invitation. I'm not saying you need to have a piano during the song service. We don't use one. Now, I could play the piano. I play the piano, but we're fairly limited in our church on piano players at this time. We haven't been in the past, and we've had plenty to go around, but we don't have a piano player during while I lead the singing. Now, we do have a couple of girls, like teenage girls, a little bit younger, who will play during the invitation, and they will play a song maybe like Seek Ye First or something like that, a slower song. We used to sing Into My Heart quite a bit. That's another one you might be familiar with, but we used to sing songs like that. But it's very good if you have somebody that can play the piano. This is a great time, even if you don't use them during the song service, it's a great time to use them. And it's a good time to involve a church kid. They don't have to be great. All they need to do is just be able to play, and it's a great chance to get their feet wet playing in front of people. It's a great opportunity to really plug in some young kids there and give them a chance to be involved. What we do is we have the piano start playing, and we'll actually have somebody, maybe even a couple of the older kids or maybe teenager-type kids, workers, and they'll be leading. They'll kind of lead sing. Basically, they just stand up there and sing, and what we'll do is, to start the invitation, we'll have everybody bow their head and close their eyes, and people will take their positions while the preacher is praying. When we get through praying, we ask the kids to stand up, and we then will begin the invitation. The music starts playing, people start singing, and we'll ask kids to come down if they need to be saved, to come down and talk to the preacher and different things like that. But that's essentially how our services start. It doesn't take a lot, and you can get way too fancy pretty quick. You need to really keep it pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Routine is pretty key. It's also pretty important to have some form of discipline during this time. Have maybe somebody, a worker, being out in the crowd, because this is a time that really kids get pretty bored very quickly, especially if you sing the same song over and over and the invitation tends to go a little bit longer. This is one of the reasons I recommend that you take kids that you're dealing with about salvation out of the room into a separate room. That way you can talk to them privately. Now, not one-on-one. You need to have somebody else in there we've discussed a little bit of that earlier. You can talk to the Christian Law Association about some of the troubles you'll get into and stuff like that. But it's just a great idea. If you can do that, it's less distracting on them, and also it's less distracting on those other kids. If instead of hanging the invitation, drag out 15 minutes while you're talking to a little kid who maybe has some questions. You know, listen, don't be cookie cutter when you're witnessing the kids. It's easy to do. It's easy to read three verses of scripture and shorten it down pretty quick. You need to take some time, make sure they understand. And I'm really rattling here. This is something I'm pretty passionate about in the way we deal with kids. But let me go ahead and get into some of this, I know, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself on some of these points. But I'm going to give you just a few tips that we use when we're witnessing with kids. When a kid comes down, when the invitation starts, we have the kids come down. And we have kids that will come down and pray, and they just go over and pray by themselves, you know, church kids and such. And you can tell usually when a kid comes down, they've got that worried, convicted look on their face. Not all of them will have it, but you can usually tell a kid that's under conviction when they come down. They don't hide it very well. And what we'll do is they come down, the preacher, whoever's running the invitation, will talk to them. And you can pretty quickly discern whether they're serious or not, what's going on. You can ask them. What I do when I'm running the invitation is I'll kneel down, kind of get closer on their level, and I'll say, you know, what'd you come down for? And many times they'll say, oh, I need Jesus in my heart. I need to be saved, something like that. Well, that's good. And I'll usually go ahead and ask, have you done that before? Because you'll have quite a few repeat cases. But usually doesn't matter what I do after that, unless it's a kid I've dealt with quite a bit in the past and I can give them something real quick. But the kids who come down to be saved, quickly we'll point them to a worker, get them with a worker, and get them being dealt with in the side room is very quickly. And usually we'll wait, if there's quite a few kids come down, before that worker starts talking to them, we'll wait, maybe have to send two or three in with them. You know, that's not a problem. I don't recommend, if you can help it, I know time constraints and worker constraints and personnel and stuff may keep you from doing this, but if you can keep it down to two or three kids per person, one-on-one is great. Two is not so bad. Three, once it gets above three or four, it's pretty hard to meet the kids' needs. You find yourself just laying it out there, and you can't really get one-on-one and really meet the kids' needs one-on-one, because a lot of times kids will come down who are saved. I don't know how many times I've had kids come down, and they'll say they need to be saved. I'll talk to them and find out, well, they've done this before. They've prayed, and they've made profession of faith before. I'm careful in my terminology. There's a lot of things I've caught up saying and by habit that may not necessarily be theologically correct, like asking Jesus in your heart. So if I slip up and say that and you're really technical on that, I apologize. I'm working on that. But I'll find out the kid is probably saved. So then what I want to do is talk to them about assurance. I've had a lot of kids come down that will say things like, I did it and I meant it, but I still do bad things. Well, then I need to deal with that kid one-on-one. I need to give him some things to help him with that, explain that once we're saved, we're not necessarily perfect. And we need to pray and ask Jesus to forgive us when we make those mistakes. So that's free. That's in there. You need to keep it down to two, three, or fewer per worker, if possible. If possible, that's the best thing to do. Anyway, let's get to these tips I have in your notes here. Number one, weed out kids who are not serious. If a kid comes down, can't tell me why he came down. If I'm running the invitation, kid comes down, they just don't know why they're there, I send them back to the pew. Now, that may seem harsh and extreme. I'm not going to waste my worker's time or my time dealing with a kid who just came down to come down. I'm not going to do it. Our time is precious. The work is precious. You don't need to be wasting time. If they come down and they're showing signs of goofing off or coming down and cutting up and stuff, I'm probably not going to spend much time on them. I'm probably going to send them back to their seat. You need to weed out those kids that are just not serious, who may not be ready, who don't know why they're coming, who are acting up. It's fairly easy to do. It doesn't take a lot of rocket science, and I know there is a fear that you'll make a mistake and send somebody back who's not ready. Be very prayerful about it. Be very careful, but it's pretty easy that you can weed out some kids. I'll tell you, after I got saved, and I started telling a story and I didn't quite get into it earlier, but after I got saved, I was 4. When my sister got up to being about 4 or 5 years old, she's about 3 years younger than me, 2 or 3 years younger than me, and when she got up being about 4 or 5 years old, I wanted her to get saved. I didn't want her to die and go to hell. So what I would do in children's church is I would kick her out and say, hey, you need to go down there and get saved. Well, she wasn't ready to get saved. She went down there, usually because I pushed her out in the aisle and I threatened to kill her. But she would go down there, and finally a worker had to come to me. And she had, I think, even been through. They went through the whole deal with her, and she prayed and everything. But finally a worker had come to me and said, hey, you don't need to kick her out. When she's ready, she'll go. Don't worry about it. And it really scared me. I was scared to death. But, you know, it wasn't but a matter of a few weeks that one time she went down there by herself. God took care of that. So that's just something else there. You know, when kids are ready, they're ready. They'll take action if you give them the opportunity. Number two, stay on track. Kids will have questions. They'll come down and they'll want to pray for their sick grandma, and they'll want to tell you every single detail that they can possibly imagine. That's great. If a kid comes down like that, I'm going to say, you might want to say a quick word of prayer with them if you don't have a lot of people, but say, well, why don't you kneel right here and you can pray and talk to Jesus and pray and ask him to help your grandma. Stuff like that. And you'll have kids pray for puppies, and you'll have kids come down and they'll say, that kid in the red shirt, he's not paying attention. Well, thank you. I'll keep an eye on him. That's great. Thanks for telling me. Now, go back and sit down. You got to stay on track. Don't let kids get you off track. Kids like attention. They'll do things to get attention. But you need to stay on track as best you can. Next point, don't use a complicated salvation presentation. A lot of people try to give a master's level or doctorate level discourse on salvation to a 4-year-old kid. That 4-year-old kid does not need to worry about predestination or even eternal security for that matter. That little kid knows that they're a sinner. They're convicted of their sin. They know that they're not going to go to heaven. They know that something's got to change, and they're there for that reason. It's hard to mess it up. It is hard to mess up dealing with a little kid. Honestly, I don't want to make it sound like it's hard. It is really easy to deal with a little kid who's ready. It doesn't take much. 2 or 3 verses of scripture. Most kids can't even read anyway. I will still open up my Bible and I'll point and I'll tell them, oh, this is Romans. And this is the book of Romans. This is chapter 3, verse 10. And Romans chapter 10, verse 9. I will show those things to them, and I'll read it to them real slow and, you know, explain it to them and listen to them. The thing is, a lot of times you end up repeating exactly what the preacher said before. So keep it very simple. We actually have some little book deals, presentation type deals, and little folders that we use sometimes, and some people really like them. That goes through and has some pictures and different things. It has some verses there. Stuff like that's good. You've seen the wordless book where it has the colors, and black is sin, and you know, red is the blood, and the different things like that. I don't remember all of them, but there's things like that. They're very good, but don't get overly complicated. Keep it simple. As I say, don't read a lot of scripture. You don't have to really reason with a little kid. You're dealing with somebody who's ready, who doesn't have a lot of baggage. They're ready to get saved. Don't use big words. Use simple illustrations. Illustrations are great. Use very simple ones. Don't get bogged down into a very complex one. I use one, for instance, when I'm dealing with Jesus paying the price for our sins. I will use one, and I'll say, you know, the kid I'm talking to, let's say you broke this window, and we were playing baseball, and you broke the window, and Brother David, he's the fellow that runs the children's church. I said, he comes in, he says, oh, you shouldn't have done that. You need to pay for it because you broke it. And I said, well, you know, when you say, well, I broke it, I'll pay for it. And Brother David, he says, Well, that's a very expensive window, though. That's going to cost you $2,000. And you say, wow, I don't have $2,000. I don't even have $5. And then I'll say, well, and then let's say I come along and I say, well, you know what, this kid, he's my friend. He rides the church bus all the time. Listen, I didn't break the window, but I want to help you just because you're my friend. And I pull out my credit card because, of course, I don't have that much money on my debit card. And my credit card doesn't even have that big a limit, but I'll pull out my credit card, debit card, or if I have cash in my billfold, which is rare, but if I have money, I'll say, well, I'll pay for it. I'll write a check. I'll use my card. I'll pay for it. And then I'll explain. That's what Jesus did for us. Did I break the window? No. Did I pay for it, though? Yeah. Well, Jesus didn't break the law. Jesus didn't break God's rules. Jesus didn't do any sin, but he died. Why? Because he was paying the price for us. This is just a very simple illustration, very quick, and it's fairly entertaining. Kids like it when I'm talking about everybody's a sinner. I'll tell a story about me drowning the cat. I believe I told you in the last lesson. It's simple. The kids like it. They laugh. It's just a little humorous deal and very personal. It helps the kids not feel so bad. A lot of kids are very embarrassed to say that they're sinners. A lot of kids will tell you that they've never sinned. They're just embarrassed. They don't want to tell you that they've done wrong. They want to be big and impress you. Well, if you can tell a story that you haven't necessarily done right too, it kind of helps break the ice. But don't use complicated salvation presentation. Next, if they aren't following you, don't go all the way through. If the kids get in there, if they make it past the preacher and they get in there and they're not listening to you, don't waste your time on them. Listen, if they're not listening to you and you have to continually get on to them, they want to talk about Spider-Man. I had one little boy I talked to a number of times. They'd come down and I'd go ahead and talk to him. A lot of times, one-on-one, talk to him, and he'd all of a sudden want to talk about Spider-Man or Superman. Well, that's fine and good, and I'm glad I can be a friend to the little kid, but it's not what I'm there for. We got more important things going on right now. We'll talk about Spider-Man later. But if they're doing things like that, you can go through the plan of salvation and such, but I will not let the kids pray. If they haven't been paying attention, I'm not even going to offer them the chance to pray. I will tell them, you know, that being saved is believing in Jesus, and that we pray and ask God to save us, and, you know, based on Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, 13, and all that. Well, as I explained that to those kids, though, but I'm not going to let a little kid, I'm not going to give a kid false hope. And that's something that's very dangerous. You know, we're not out here just to trick people into praying. I think a lot of times people dealing with soul winning and even dealing with little kids, this is just like a little prankster who's going to trick you into saying the word orange. Y'all remember the simple little games you used to play in first, second grade like that, where say, I bet you I can make you say the word orange, and you just end up saying the word orange to get rid of the kid because they're driving you crazy. I remember playing some games like that, you know, with some kids, and you basically just did it just to get rid of them because they drove you crazy. Well, that's what a lot of people will do with a lot of these high-pressure techniques you use for soul winning. I know a lot of people don't even give people a chance to say no, and I apologize that I know this is not a course on soul winning. It's just some of my pet peeves, some of the stuff we do. Yeah, they may pray, but I'm telling you, they're still as lost as a goose in a hailstorm, as the southern phrase down here goes. It's not just tricking them into praying. You know, I did a report. It's funny, I actually did a report on Islam before 9/11 in college for an English class, and just odd timing on that, I guess. But as I was doing it, there's a certain group of the Muslims that believe that once you say the phrase, something like, I can't remember exactly, but Allah is God and Muhammad is his prophet. Once you say that, and if you say that in Arabic, you are automatically Muslim. Well, a lot of times we tend to use that same horrible doctrine that is a pagan doctrine there when we're dealing with people. We think if they magically pray this sinner's prayer, they're saved. Well, friends, you can pray till you're blue in the face. It's your faith and trust in Christ that saves them. You know, it's not some magic words, abracadabra. It's believing. It's putting your faith and trust in Him. Anyway, let's move on. Ask questions to make sure they understand. Don't just be a one-sided conversation. Now, you need to limit their interactions if you're wanting to get anywhere. But you, those kids, you need to ask them, you know, do you know that you've sinned? And the way I usually explain sin is I'll say, you know, when we sin, that's when we break God's rules. Sinning is breaking God's rules. And God tells us not to lie, not to steal, not to cheat, not to cuss, to do what our mama says. And, you know, it doesn't have to be very deep, technical, or anything like that. But you need to make sure that these kids are following you. As I say, I'm not going to let a little kid pray who hasn't been listening, who hasn't been following, just for the sake of having the little kid pray. I don't want to give that kid false hope. I don't want to write his name down. And besides that, if you don't deal with this, he'll be back next week and do the same thing. Most kids will come down 2, 3, 4 times or more. It's just a fact. You'll learn that if you haven't dealt with little kids before, they keep coming back. And I've never really seen anybody dealing with young kids. I'm talking like 5, 6, 7, even age 4, the young kids. Once they get about 10, they probably won't come back down. But these young kids, they'll keep coming back. They're very tender hearts. And when you're up there preaching and trying and pleading to get people to come down, they're going to come down because you want them to come down. So you need to be patient with them and give them something maybe to help them grow a little bit. You know, if you can figure out what exactly it is that maybe bother them. Sometimes it's because they sinned and they're convicted because they haven't, you know, been necessarily living right as bad off as a 4-year-old can be. But, you know, they know that they messed up and fought with their brother and they feel bad for that. Well, talk to them about forgiveness of sin and how we pray and how Jesus will forgive us. Simple things like that. But you need to ask questions. Make sure these kids are understanding. Make sure they're following you. And usually I will do that as I progress. As I say, I use a 4-point outline when it comes to salvation. One is everybody's a sinner, including you. Number two is that there's a penalty for our sin. That is death and hell. Number three is that Jesus paid the price for us so we could go to heaven. And number four is we can go to heaven. We can be saved when we believe on Him, when we trust Him and ask Him to save us. It's very simple. It's basically the 4-point Romans Road outline that many people use. But it's what I like to use, and I can compress that down to 3 verses. It's very simple to do. You know, Romans 3:10, Romans 6:23, I believe it is. I've gone blank on that reference. I believe that's right. And, you know, Romans 10:9, 10:13. I'll use those. Basically, 3 verses I can explain those 4 points out of. I don't have to go in depth. Now, a lot of times I will go ahead and give them some assurance. If they prayed, I like to use the verse in 1 John chapter 5, is it 13? I hope. I don't have my Bible sitting right here in front of me. But talks about know that you're saved. And I talk about know being, I say, you know, what is your name? And they'll say, well, my name is Chris. Okay, well, Chris, what if I said your name is Bob? And you say, well, my name's not Bob, it's Chris. And I'll say, oh, okay, well, your name then is Fred. And I'll say, my name's not Fred, it's Chris. Okay, well, because you know what your name is. And I'll say, do you know how old you are? And they'll say, well, I'm 5. Okay, that's good. What if I said you're 28? And you'll say, I'm not 28. And then, you know, the kids get a little tickled ass. But in the basic illustration, I'll maybe do that for 2 or 3 things, phone number, address, something like that. You know, maybe the color of the table, something really simple. And I'll say, listen, you know what those are. I said, and it's the same thing. You know that you're saved. You don't have to doubt about it. You just know it. And just, it's a very simple assurance deal, something I've used, and I've seen it help a lot of little kids who were, you know, those you know, regulars who like to come down every week. That simple illustration has really helped some of them. But you need to make sure his kids are understanding. The next point, if they pray with you, go ahead and give them something about assurance and security. And I got a little ahead of myself down there, but kids are going to come down more than once. You can prevent that a little bit by giving them a little bit extra. Go ahead and explain to them that once you're saved doesn't mean you're perfect. And explain to them what you do, that you, when you mess up, you need to try to live right. But if you mess up and do something bad, you pray and ask Jesus to forgive you and you try not to do it again. It's not that hard. But if kids keep coming down and keep coming down, go through it again. If they, a lot of times I'll go through it and they'll say, well, I didn't really mean it. I usually ask them, did you mean it when you did that last week? Because, you know, a lot of times if you're in a smaller church like us, you will end up with some the same kids every week coming down, you know, if you're just in a small ministry like ours. And so you get a lot of one-on-one time, and I'll say, well, now Stephen, why did you come down again? You come down last week. And they'll usually smile, and I'll say, well, I said, did why did you come down? A lot of times they'll say, well, I need to get saved. Well, didn't you do that last week? Yeah. Well, Stephen, how many times do you have to be saved? I said, Stephen, you only have to be saved one time. I said, you know, how many times are you born? Once? Well, see, it's the same thing when you're saved. It's being born again. You only get saved one time. It's one time. It's all you got to do it. Don't worry about it. You don't have to do it every time you mess up. But you need to be patient with them. Don't just tell kids, hey, you've come down 8 times. You go back. No, you need to be loving, be patient with these kids. Just listen, this is the most important thing in the world. And if it took 8 times for it to finally stick, do it 8 times. If it takes 20 times, be patient. Go through it. Deal with these kids. And as I say, when they keep coming down, you may want to not necessarily go cookie cutter Romans Road salvation with them. You want to be a little bit more personalized. Ask them, see if you can draw out what it is that is bothering them, what it is that is causing them to come down. Sometimes they come down just because they want you to come down. Sometimes they'll come down just because they like being your buddy and get to go in there. Sometimes they'll come down because they feel bad because they know they've been sinning. You know, kids are very tender and that stuff bothers. I remember after I got saved how if I did something I wasn't supposed to do, how it bothered me. And I remember stopping and actually praying and asking Jesus to forgive me for things that I did. Now, it didn't necessarily stop me from doing some of them, but I knew that's what I was supposed to do. And so a lot of these things, if you're like me and you were saved at a very young age, and, you know, praise God for people that are saved at a young age. I used to feel really bad about that, and I always wished I had that dramatic testimony that I was, 20-year-old and a drunk in college, and God miraculously saved me and turned me completely around, and I gave up marijuana and dope and alcohol and all my loose living and turned around. I'm living the straight and narrow now. Well, I don't have that testimony. I was saved when I was 4. I basically grew up in church. We progressively got more involved the older I got, but as nevertheless, I basically grew up in church. I was saved at 4. I don't have that wild testimony. I used to feel bad about it. And I actually heard a preacher when I was in college, and he said, you know, those people like that said, you ought to be proud that you have a testimony. Like I said, those are the best ones, that you don't have all those regrets. You don't have all that baggage. And it helped me make me feel a lot better. But I don't remember how I got onto that. That happens sometimes in some of this. If you're sitting here staring at a computer recording, you'll get a little bit off track too. But kids will be saved when they're 4. Sometimes I may have doubts when they're a little bit older. I'll be honest, I had doubts. I got up to be about 16 years old, and I did have some doubts and had to be dealt with. And I'm going to tell you, I don't want to go into the whole story, but our pastor was talking to me about it. He was at Vacation Bible School, and I told him I didn't think I was saved. And he said, well, you know as well as I do. I'm not going to sit here and go through it with you. But he said, I'm going to tell you, most people that doubt it, it's because they've got some sin in their life. And I'm going to tell you, something popped immediately in my mind, something I had refused to deal with. Some little pet sin of mine. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but just for propriety and my own sake there, but a little privacy on my part. I don't want everybody on the internet knowing what my pet sin was when I was 16, but nevertheless, I'm going to tell you, I knew exactly. And I'm going to tell you something, I was too scared to tell him what it was. I was too scared, and I'm just kind of like I'm too scared to tell you now. But I didn't want to tell him what it was that was bothering me and what it is. But I went ahead, and he didn't really show me scriptures in the Bible, I don't think. I don't exactly remember. I was pretty emotional at the time, but I remember praying, and I remember just I was crying and praying, God, I don't just let you know if I'm not saved, I'm asking you right now to save. But I'm gonna tell you, as emotional as I was, and even though I was saying those words in the back of my mind, I knew what it was that was keeping me from having that assurance. It was because I had something in my life that needed to be dealt with. I've got on that awful point on assurance and security there with little kids, but let me tell you something. I've talked and I've gave a lot of warnings and things when dealing with little kids, but it's hard to mess up dealing with a little kid. It used to scare me. I'm going to tell you something. I love dealing with the little kids at Vacation Bible School or in children's church. It's not hard to do. It doesn't take a theology degree to do it. If you can basically read a church tract, you can talk to them. And a little kid who's ready, you're probably not going to mess it up. I wouldn't even worry about it. It's probably possible, but I doubt you're going to do it. And it takes a little bit of practice. You'll get some confidence up, but don't be scared, don't be shy away from doing it. It's very simple, dude, and just go slow, take your time, keep it simple, and there's not much you can mess up if you can explain the gospel. If you can't explain the gospel, you got problems. You probably need to check up on your own salvation if you don't know how to explain the gospel. Let me add another point here, and that after a kid gets saved, you really need to have a system of record keeping. You can buy some triplicate forms through different, you know, church supply companies. I believe the BB Publications has those. You can check that out. BBPublications.com, I believe, is their website. They're affiliated with Church Bus News. I mentioned them, churchbusnews.com. If you get to one of those, you can find the other. And it's not BB as in the letters. It's BEEBE Publications.com. And you can buy some triplicate forms. You can print your own. Triplicate forms are great. You can give a copy to the pastor that he can read, and you can have one to file, and the other one you can keep, you know, to pray for or something. Keep for the, you know, maybe the personal worker. What we do, we actually do have some triplicate forms that we purchased. I don't think we had them printed ourselves. I'm pretty sure we didn't. But we have some triplicate forms, and now I don't go through and write down necessarily their whole name and address. A lot of little kids don't even know their address and phone number. It's really scary, but a lot of them don't know it. But I focus on getting their name, getting their age. I'll try to at least get the city they live, and just get some very basic information like that, that they were saved, and sign it and date it, and we have a record-keeping system to keep up with that. Let me tell you a story. When I first recorded the first few lectures in this, it was before Christmas. Right now, it's the middle of January, 08. On Christmas Eve of 07, there was a wreck in south side of our town here, Decatur, Texas, and a family of our bus kids, two girls and a boy that rode our bus for many years. They were with their dad and mom, I believe stepdad, but not with mom and dad, and they pulled out in front of an 18-wheeler. The 18-wheeler hit them. The dad and one of the girls died instantly. The other girl was brain dead for a few days, and she finally passed away. The little boy's not doing great, but he's doing pretty well. He's going to have some problems. Had a very bad concussion, and the mom was pretty banged up, but she came through pretty good. But the mom and dad both have been saved. An evangelist had come through, and they have witnessed to them out on visitation, and all three of the kids. Let me tell you something, though. When we heard about that, we were able to go in, check our record system, and we had right there a card that said that Cheyenne was saved. We had the card. And if you wanted to worry about little CW, the little boy, we had the card right there. And that was so good to know that right there it is. Right there is hard, concrete evidence. You don't have to worry about it. Right there it says that these people got saved on this date. And it's quite a blessing. I don't know how many times we've had situations like that, had a wreck or something, and been able to do that. And it's quite a comfort to families. It's quite a comfort to even our own church family and to the workers. You wonder, oh my goodness, I hope those kids got saved. Well, there it is right there. You've got it in black and white. Those kids did get saved. So you need to have a record-keeping system. Even if it is just print your own form and get their name and date, but have something you can file away, keep track of it, and you may end up with 8 copies for one kid if they keep coming down. We have a lot like that. We go look up and we'll have 8 or 10 copies, but nonetheless, you need to have a record keeping system. That's just some few points on running an invitation. And really, I know I've talked quite a bit about dealing with the kids themselves, but it's very important. It's the most important time of the service. Now, let me also throw in that even though it's important to deal with these kids for salvation, that's the main thing, most important thing in the world, you also need to have something for the church kids. And I'm really big on that. Don't neglect the church kids, the kids that were saved when they're 4 and now they're 10, and have something for them. I used to not, but I do like having like an open altar call and let the kids come down and pray. If they feel the need to come down and pray, let them come down and pray. Now, if they go to praying for 10 minutes, you might want to, you know, talk to them or pray with them or something. But be available to pray with them is great. But you need to open it up. Don't just have just the kids come down. And you may have special services or something you want to do that with. If you preached a very straightforward evangelistic sermon, that might be something you want to do, is just have the kids come down just for salvation. But I think it's a great idea if you can open up the altar call, let the kids come down, let them pray too. But nevertheless, that will conclude this lesson on the invitation, and we'll have a lesson following this one on the fun time in children's church, a few things on that. And I'm also got one I think to also be a great help to you coming up, be the lesson after that on discipline in children's church, and just some practical points on what you can do to deal with unruly kids, how to prevent them from being unruly. So I think that would be a great blessing to you. Thanks for listening.